Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
He looks like a monster. He looks like a game wrecker. Yeah, I don't think he certainly was hurting last year. There's no doubt about it. And he's a guy that you can't rest for 1 second when you're going up against him. You better know where he's lined on every play. And you got to make sure that you're putting your players in the best position possible to go against him, because as dominant as he is in the pass game, he's equally as dominant in the run game. And I think that's what makes him so special. He plays a lot of snaps. His effort is relentless. He is a guy that just can completely take over a football game.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable. Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
Hour three of the Bart Winkler Show. No Bart Winkler this morning. It's Toby Altizer with Sam Schmitz this morning. We're talking about this Packers-Rams game. You just heard from Coach LaFleur talking about Rams defensive tackle, defensive end, defensive lineman, defensive weapon, Aaron Donald. We're going to look at this Rams team a little bit before we get to Ryan Wood at 8:15 to get some of his thoughts on this game. I want to take a deeper dive. This game is huge. This is going to be a big game for both teams. I want to look at this Rams team. I want to know, what are we going up against here as a Packers? What are we going up against the Rams team? This offense for the Rams, they're ranked 6th in yards per game. They're ranked 4th in passing yards per game. They're ranked 24th in running in the rush game on offense. They're ranked 27th. They're 7th in points per game with 27.1. Defense, ranked 12th in the NFL yards per game. They're ranked 15th in points per game. So you're going to be able to score some points against this team. They're middle of the pack. They have 29 sacks, though. They're 4th in the league in that. Matt Stafford, what are we going up against with that? Matt Stafford's 4th in the league in pass yards. How's he been playing? He's been completing about 67.7% of his passes. He's got 24 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. The 24 touchdowns, good for 3rd in the league. You're going up against a team with a number one receiver in football right now in a lot of categories. You got Cooper Kupp, most receptions in the league with 85. He's leading the league, already over 1,000 yards receiving for the season, 1,141. He's tied for first place in touchdowns with Mike Evans with 10. And then you got Darrell Henderson, their lead back, 126 attempts. He's had 596 rushing yards, 4.7 yards per carry with 5 touchdowns. A little look at this Rams team. This Rams team is good. They're really good. But they haven't been playing super well coming into this game. They haven't been on a winning streak. They haven't been winning football games that you would think that they'd be winning. This Rams team, for some people, was at the top of their power rankings for a while because they thought that this team was really good. But now they're coming in off a loss to the Titans 2 weeks ago, 28-16. They're coming off a loss to the 49ers, 31-10, where the Niners looked really good and the Rams looked really bad. So they're coming in off a bye week after losing two big games in prime time, and they're going to look to beat this Packers team. They need a win. They're coming in, they're ranked, they're the 5 seed in the NFC right now with a 7-3 record. Packers come in 8-3. They need to get a victory to get back on track. I think a lot of people are expecting this Rams team to come in ready to go. I know Bart said that coming off a bye week, he's worried because the Packers are headed into their bye, and the Rams are coming off their bye. The Rams are going to come in motivated. They're coming in 2 straight losses. They're coming off a bye week, 2 weeks to prepare for this Packers team, a Packers team that just continues to lose starters left and right. And then on top of that, the Packers looking ahead to this bye week. They have the NFC North essentially wrapped up. I know that the Vikings are still within striking distance, but for the most part, we can give the NFC North to the Packers. We can kind of wrap that one up. So at this point, the Packers are kind of playing for the one seed. Now, how important that is, and we can have that discussion later, but the Packers are kind of going for that at the moment. They've got the Rams, then they've got the bye week. Are the Packers going to come in a letdown spot here before the bye, looking ahead to it? And a lot of questions are going to be about, and we're going to talk with Ryan Wood about some of this stuff coming up. You're preparing for the show. You're looking, all right, what are we going to talk about today? What are we going to talk about with the offense for the Packers? What are we going to talk about with the defense for the Packers, with the Rams? A lot of the story of this game just comes back to injuries. You know, the Rams are missing Robert Woods for the year after he tears his ACL. OBJ comes in, and he's going to play a big role. And this is kind of the game between the two teams that a lot of people thought, well, he ends up going to the Rams. A lot of people thought that OBJ might end up in Green Bay. So you get a Odell Beckham revenge game or Packers revenge against Odell Beckham Jr. for not coming to Green Bay. So you get that. But I think you look at this on the Green Bay Packers side, lots and lots of injuries. And we already knew this. And we're going to have to ask Ryan Wood at 8:15, just coming up in a few minutes about all these injuries, because there's a possibility Aaron Jones suits up. We don't know. He looked pretty good on some tape I saw on Twitter of him at practice yesterday. When can we expect a guy like Rashawn Gary back? How about Za'Darius, Jair? Are those guys coming back? Because I think you look at this Packers team, and I still feel like they're the best team in the NFC, but are they the best team in the NFC because I'm thinking that these guys are coming back? Because if you said right now, as this Packers roster is constructed with the guys that are out, is this the best team in the NFC? I'd say no, because your lead back is A.J. Dillon. Your lead corner is Eric Stokes. And don't get me wrong, Eric Stokes has been good, but he's no Jair Alexander. Your lead edge rusher is Preston Smith. Okay, that's fine, but you need other guys. And they're really lacking that right now with these injuries. So I'm excited to get into that a little bit with Ryan Wood. But let's continue to look at this Rams team. They've played good football. They're a very strong offensive team. They're going to air the ball out. They average 387 yards a game. 289 of that comes through the air. They're going to air the ball out. They're going to find a way to get Matt Stafford throwing this thing deep. They're going to get Cooper Kupp really involved. And that's something that John Johnson talked about when OBJ signed with the Rams, is that Cooper Kupp is the driver of this offense. If Cooper Kupp isn't going, the Rams don't go. Even in the run game, everything, it all runs through Cooper Kupp. And I think what you're seeing this year, and I've always thought this, but I think McVay did a good job of covering it up. I always thought that in that Rams offense, Robert Woods is a really good route runner. He's really good. But he fit more of what Jared Goff had, where Jared Goff needed to play timing, throwing the ball when guys were coming out of their breaks, and McVay would kind of scheme him open. I always thought Cooper Kupp was the more talented receiver. And I think now you're seeing with a quarterback like Matt Stafford that doesn't have to just rely on McVay getting him guys open, telling him where to throw the ball, you're seeing how talented Cooper Kupp really is. And right now, Cooper Kupp could be in the offensive player of the year discussion. So I think when you look at this Packers team, how are they going to stop Cooper Kupp? I don't know that they're going to have to worry about the run too much. Darrell Henderson has been okay as a running back this year. He's got a pretty good average of 4.7 yards per carry. But this Rams team doesn't want to just try to run the ball down your throat. They want to pass it. They want to run it up. They want to score some points. And you look at this Packers team, defensively, they've been pretty good against the pass. They're 7th in the pass, 12th in the run. And so maybe the Rams are going to have to run the ball a little bit more. Maybe the Packers do a good job against this pass defense. But who's covering Cooper Kupp? Because that's going to be the most important thing. Is Stokes going to be on him? Is Douglas going to be on him? Is Channon Sullivan going to be on him? Who's on Cooper Kupp? Because that's going to be the most important thing for a Packers victory on Sunday, I think, is you're going to have to be able to stop Cooper Kupp. This defense didn't show that they were able to stop a guy like Justin Jefferson. And in that tier of guys with Justin Jefferson is Cooper Kupp, Devontae Adams, those kind of guys. They're top tier level wide receivers in this league. And the Packers are going up against one this week. Then OBJ has now been in the system with the Rams for a little bit. How involved is he going to be? How do the Packers stop guys like Tyler Higbee? This Rams offense is really good. They've got a lot of weapons. Now, if you go to their defensive side of the ball, I think another big matchup. We're talking about, all right, how do they stop Cooper Kupp? okay, well, how do the Packers and their offensive line that is really ravaged match up against, and we played a clip from it earlier from Matt LaFleur, Aaron Donald? How do they match up against Von Miller? How do they match up against some of these guys that are going to be able, going against guys that were backups, third stringers for the Packers coming into the year, going up against Josh Neijman? You're going up against John Runyon. You're going up against guys that weren't supposed to be playing significant snaps for this Packers team. We saw last year in that playoff game, and Aaron Donald was a little banged up, but we saw last year that Jenkins was able to have his way with Aaron Donald. He really didn't. Donald really wasn't a game wrecker. Well, this year there's no Elkton Jenkins. There's no David Bakhtiari. You got a. They could be in a long. Aaron Rodgers could be in for a long day. He's got a fractured toe too, so he could be in for a long day behind that offensive line with the pressure they're going to be able to put up front. Aaron Donald is, in my opinion, the best player in the league at his position. I don't think Patrick Mahomes is good. Aaron Rodgers is a good quarterback. We can talk about all these guys. I don't think there's a better football player in the National Football League than Aaron Donald. Good luck being able to stop him. And then on top of that, it's not like he's just a threat in the pass game. Are they going to be able to run the football behind this front? Because I think that's another key for the Packers. They got to be able to run the ball. You know that game plan they pulled out for the Chiefs game with Jordan Love? I think Matt LaFleur should find that, recycle that, run that back out there. Run the football against this Rams team. But then again, are they going to be able to be successful running the football against this Rams team? Because their offensive line, the Packers' offensive line, is really banged up. This defensive front for the Rams is really good. And then on top of that, I think the matchup I'm most excited for out of all of them, Davante Adams, Jalen Ramsey. I still think that Jalen Ramsey is a top two, top three corner in the league. I still think Jair's the top. But you saw last year what can happen when Davante Adams gets one-on-one with Jalen Ramsey. Davante Adams is the best receiver in the league, no question about it. And I think going up against one of the top corners in the league, I don't know. And Adams kind of downplayed it this week. You know he's excited to go against Jalen Ramsey. You know he wants to beat him again. I love the clip of Davante beating Jalen Ramsey so bad last year in the playoff game and a slant pattern, I believe it was, that Jalen's like, I'm going to drop, look like I was in zone coverage, because he didn't want to look like he just got embarrassed, which he did. I'm so excited for this game on Sunday because the Packers need to win this game. The Rams need to win this game. Both teams coming in, one off a bye, one headed into a bye. Both teams have a little bit of injuries. The Packers with way more than the Rams, but both teams have some injuries, and both of these teams are going to be around late into January playing some playoff football and could be hoisting a Lombardi trophy at the end of it. So I'm excited to see. We're going to come back from a break here and talk with Ryan Wood, get some of his thoughts, get some updates on the injuries and whatnot. We'll talk with Ryan Wood coming up next here on the Bark Winkler Show.
It's time to find out the latest from Green Bay with Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette. Brought to you by the Thomas Marola Law Offices.
Divorce, child custody, and any other family law needs. Go with experience. Go with Thomas Marola. Online at marolalaw.net or call 414-327-5800.
It is the Bart Winkler Show here on 1250 AM The Fan. Live from the Lakeland University Studios, online or in person, learn your way at lakeland.edu. And joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, Ryan Wood from the Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com. How are you doing this morning, Ryan? Ryan, you there?
How's it going?
There we go. Pretty good. How are you doing this day?
Not bad. How's your Thanksgiving?
Not too bad. How about you? Do you enjoy it up in Green Bay with some family? You up Black Friday shopping today?
Not Black Friday shopping today, but yes, I did enjoy it with family. My folks are in from Indiana. It was a good time. I'll tell you, between yesterday's Thanksgiving and some Friendsgiving the previous night, I'm going to have to roll to Packers practice today.
Yes, Sam said he had a hard time rolling in here in a food coma. I want to get your opinion on this, Ryan, before we get to some Packers. A lot of people think the Lions shouldn't be allowed to play on Thanksgiving anymore because of how bad they are. What do you think about that?
No, terrible. Lions football is as American tradition as the turkey itself. I mean, that is Americana at its finest. I don't know. I'd be disappointed not to see the Lions. Yeah. And their fans wearing you know, paper bags over their heads on Thanksgiving. It's perfectly perfect staple of that Thanksgiving tradition.
Yeah, I think it's perfect because you begin the day with a game that usually isn't that good. So if you're not glued to the television, it's all right. You can spend time with family. And then, you know, the Cowboys game is usually going to be a good one. So you can kind of get up for that one.
Well, and now that there's usually a really good primetime game, too, I mean, you got to, like, to football binge that much, that hard, you've got to ramp up to it. It's tough to just go three straight crazy games in a row. So no, I think it's a perfect appetizer, right? It's not the turkey. It's like the sweet potato casserole or something. It's a side, but it works your way up to the turkey. It's just very, very important that start things right. And I think the Lions do a good job of that.
Yeah, whet your appetite for the main course. All right, let's get into this Packers matchup with the Rams. And I was looking at different things we could talk about this morning, Ryan, and I have a hard time not asking you about 50 different people, it seems like, on the Packers that have injuries. I mean, now we have Jenkins lost for the season on Sunday, which is obviously a big loss. Now we have Aaron Rodgers pulling his foot up on Zoom to show everybody what his foot looks like and showing them that he doesn't have COVID toe, but actually has a fractured toe. How worried should we be about this Rodgers toe injury?
Well, it's one of those things that, I mean, it could be a lot worse, right? He can play through it, first of all. The lack of practice doesn't help, but I'll be very curious to see how he's doing coming out of the bye. I mean, he's going to get through this Rams game and then prop his feet up for a week and stay off his feet and see if that thing can heal. I mean, it's going to linger for some time, but the biggest thing is if he can just keep from re-aggravating the injury. I mean, he said that in Minnesota in the first half, he got it stepped on, and it, like, all the symptoms came back. I mean, it hurt all over again. So that's the biggest concern is as he's moving in and out of the pocket, as he's scrambling, not getting it stepped on. But so long as he's able to play, I mean, it's not the worst case scenario.
Yeah, and he did look like, I thought he looked fine moving around. I wouldn't even, if you didn't tell me he had a toe injury on Sunday against the Vikings, I wouldn't even know. It looked like he moved fine, and I think that's going to be a big part of this game because this Packers offensive line is really banged up, and they're going against a front that has Aaron Donald. Now they add Von Miller. How confident are the Packers in their old line against the Rams front this week?
Well, Aaron Rodgers' internal clock best be turned up a notch this week because he's going to have to get rid of the ball real quick. There's no question about it. It's not ideal to have, you know, Josh Diamond's had his share of elite pass rushers this season. He went against Nick Bosa. He went against T.J. Watt. He's seen some guys early in the year. So Von Miller's obviously right up that alley. The difference is that you've got the 1-2 punch, and now you've got John Runyon Jr. going against Aaron Donald, who is the best at the same time, and that's a lot. So yeah, I sometimes with Aaron Rodgers, and I agree, I thought that his mobility looked on point. Would not have been able to tell that he had a bad toe from the way he moved, but sometimes when he does have those lower body injuries, he's much more prone to just stay in the pocket and deliver and get rid of the ball and just check through his progressions and not hold on to the thing. And that's what he's going to need to do because that Rams defensive front is it's very possible that it could overwhelm that left side of the Packers offensive line. So that's a mismatch in the Rams direction. And Aaron Rodgers knows that. I mean, he knows he's going to have to get rid of the ball.
And I think a big part of this game is going to be if the Packers can run the football. We talked about it earlier with the Buffalo Bills and them not being able to run the ball, and that usually means they lose. I feel like the Packers are going to have to be able to run the ball in this game to beat the Rams because I don't think they want to get in a shootout with them. How do you think they're going to be able to run the ball well against them with this, you know, banged up Packers front, this stout Rams front seven?
They're going to need to, you know, when you look at it, A.J. Dillon only had 11 carries in Minnesota. That's not enough. That's not enough. He had six kind of dump-off catches, so 17 touches, but even still, those are pass plays. And when you talk about running the ball, you want production, but what you also want is to keep the defense honest and have balance so that they have to respect the run, right? So a dump off to the flat is not the same as a run. It might be an extension of the run game, but it's not the same thing. A.J. Dillon, 11 carries in Minnesota, you could say double that is what he needs. I mean, he needs to be up over 20. And so we'll see if he's able to do that. And that's obviously if Aaron Jones isn't able to come back. It'll be different if Aaron Jones is able to come back this week. And I think that's a big question. You know, he's obviously practiced the past couple of days. Well, we've seen him in individual drills. He's moving well. There's no limp or anything like that. With that said, you know, the bye coming up next week has got to be enticing to just sit Aaron Jones for one more game. One more game sitting buys you two more weeks of rest and have him come back for the stretch run 100%. So I think that's a big question, what they do with him. But either way, they need to be more committed to the run game than they were in Minnesota.
Yeah, and before we quickly move on to the defense, you mentioned Aaron Jones. What do you think the likelihood is that we see him out there on Sunday?
You know what? It's a perfectly good, fine question. I'd be a fool to guess, and here's why. I would have thought for sure that Rashawn Gary was going to play last week because he practiced every day. He had that brace. It looked like they had a plan figured out for him. And lo and behold, 90 minutes before kickoff in Minnesota, Rashawn Gary was inactive. So it looks like Aaron Jones certainly has a chance to play, but it could absolutely be one of those things where, again, he practices through the week and they don't let him play on Sunday. We'll have to find out 90 minutes before kickoff.
All right, let's transition. We're talking with Ryan Wood here from the Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com. Let's transition here to the defensive side of the ball. They struggled against Minnesota, against an elite receiver in Justin Jefferson. Now the Rams come into the town, and they have a guy that's leading the NFL in a lot of categories in Cooper Kupp. Who are the Packers going to put on Cooper Kupp, and how do they stop him?
Yeah, it's a good question. Probably Eric Stokes. I mean, that's most likely who you're going to see. They've matched him against top receivers this season, even as a rookie. It could be one of those things where they keep Eric Stokes on one side, and either if Kevin King can play, or if not, Rashawn Douglas on the other. I think this is more of a man coverage week because you don't have to be concerned about Matthew Stafford taking off out of the pocket and picking up yards with his legs, right? So, you know, it's a big week for Eric Stokes. And the other question, too, is how much Odell Beckham Jr. obviously can work his way into that offense.
How do you think this Packers defense is going to get back on track against the Rams? The Rams aren't really a team that is going to look to run the ball a whole lot. They're going to sit back there and pass it. It seemed like Kirk Cousins had a lot of time on Sunday, not a whole lot of pass rush. Do you think the Packers are going to be able to get some pass rush, and how are they going to be able to get back on track after so many? It seemed like they had secondary issues, communication issues in the back end, Justin Jefferson running wide open. How do they avoid that against the Rams on Sunday?
Well, I think the biggest challenge that the Packers defense had against that Vikings offense was the fact that Dalvin Cook ran the ball 22 times, right? So he only had 86 yards. It's not like Dalvin Cook went off. He's gone off against this Packers defense before. He's had almost double that yardage before against this Packers defense. He didn't go off, but when you run it 22 times, it's not just the production. It's the threat of the run. It's forcing the defense to respect the run and having balance in that. And so when you run it 22 times with a guy like Dalvin Cook, as a defense, you have to be able to respect the run, and you can't just gear up on the back end for the pass. So that balance went a long way to freeing Justin Jefferson. The Rams, as you said, they don't have a Dalvin Cook. They don't have that type of run game, and so they don't have that kind of balance. And that's huge for any defense, including the Packers. If you can go into a game really geared up against one thing, now they can't let the Rams, you know, get off in the run game because any team can on any week. But so long as they're able to make Matthew Stafford one-dimensional. And the other thing, too, if he throws the ball a lot, it's Matthew Stafford. You have to feel like you've got a chance
to have a handful of opportunities to make a play on some of his passes. So being able to capitalize when those opportunities present themselves is also huge, because those are game-changing plays.
Talking with Ryan Wood here, PackersNews.com, Green Bay Press Gazette. And as I mentioned, introducing this segment here, Ryan, the Packers' injuries really are a big story in this game. So I want to ask you about a couple of the guys. You mentioned you thought Rashawn Gary was going to play last week. I mean, do you expect him to suit up this week then?
I would. I think it's he's practiced again this week, so I would think that there's a good chance. You know, that they've got to find something most likely that he can wear over that hyperextended right elbow that is less restrictive than that monster brace that they were having him practice in last week. And that thing, it's just, you can't do a swim move in that thing. It's a big brace. If they could still protect that elbow, but something less restrictive, I think that would be ideal for them.
All right, and we also got some news this week about David Bakhtiari getting some cleanup surgery in that knee. When do you think we can expect him back on the field?
Well, it's like Matt LaFleur said, certainly not until after the bye. I don't know if it's right after the bye either. He's going to have to get back on the practice field. He's going to have to work that knee up into football shape again. So I'm thinking no sooner than mid-December, maybe late December. But it's, if you're the Packers, if you can get David Bakhtiari back at 100% by January, that's all you care about. You want him for the playoffs. You can patch this thing together through the stretch run for the regular season. But when it's single elimination and you're going against maybe a Bucs defensive front that obviously no Dave Bakhtiari last year in the NFC Championship game is huge, or against the Rams, or that's huge. They need him back for January, and that's really I think that's the preferred timeline. Just get him back 100% for the playoffs.
All right, just a few more questions here. Talking with Ryan Wood, Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com. It seems like we know Jair, we know Zadarius, we know these guys are injured. It seems like we never hear about them. Another guy that I kind of forgot about until it was brought up earlier this week on the show is Josh Myers. Do we have any update on those guys, Jair or Zadarius or Josh Myers, when we can expect them back on the field, or if we can expect them back on the field this season?
Not much on Zadarius Smith and Jair Alexander. Matt LaFleur did say that he expects Josh Myers back this season. That's promising. When that is, we don't know. These are all long-term injuries. And so until you see these guys on the practice field, it's very much out of sight, out of mind. The next man up mentality takes over, and they got to play with what they got. So until those guys are back on the practice field, it's hard to predict when they might even have a chance to come back.
All right, two more questions for you here, Ryan. And we were going to talk about this possibly later. We talked about it kind of all week about the one seed in the NFC and how important it is. And I think Bart asked you about it on Monday or Tuesday, and whether you think it's important. But what do you think, if the Packers realistically want to get that one seed, what do you think they're going to have to get there as record-wise? Do you think they're going to have to, can they only lose one more football game and get there with four losses? Do they have to win out? What do you think the record is going to be for this Packers team if they really want to get that one seed?
I think they have a chance with one more loss because they have the head-to-head tiebreaker with Arizona. If they had one more loss, Arizona would have to lose twice. Arizona could lose twice. I don't see Arizona losing three times. So probably one more loss. This is a big win to get, though, this week, because head-to-head, the tiebreaker against a Rams team that is in that top five. There's five teams in this conference, the Cardinals, Bucks, Packers, Cowboys, Rams, that all could potentially be vying for that top seed. Now, obviously, the Cowboys losing to get down to the four-loss line didn't help them yesterday, but it's a very top-heavy conference, and when you have that much company at the top, you got to win these games against these type of opponents that are vying for the same thing.
All right, one last question here, Ryan, before I let you go. Our very own Leroy Butler was named a semifinalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame once again. Is this the year that Leroy gets in? I mean, it's been too long, it seems like, already, but is this finally the year he gets in?
It better be. I mean, my goodness, it should have happened years ago. Years ago. So it absolutely better be the year. There's absolutely zero argument to be made for the inventor of the 2020 club, a safety that's on the all 90s team to not be in Canton. And you look at the crowd this year, how many new faces there are, it certainly seems like the path is cleared for him to finally be enshrined. But that's how it works sometimes. There can be a backlog, especially at the safety position historically. But there is absolutely no reason for Leroy Butler to not be in Canton already. And, yeah, I mean, it better be the year.
Well, thanks for the time this morning, Ryan, and hope you have a good rest of your week.
All right, take care.
All right, that was Ryan Wood from the Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com, joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If applying for a home renovation loan has you feeling anxious, breathe and let Great Midwest Bank help you experience a state of tranquility today. Get started at GreatMidwestBank.com. Coming back from the break, we'll continue to preview this Packers and Rams game. Get your thoughts at 414-799-1250 at 1250 AM. The Fan, tweet us and give us your thoughts ahead of this Packers-Rams game. We'll break it down and give our predictions later on. Ryan Horvath joins the show at 9. More coming up next. Bart Winkler Show on 1250 AM. The Fan. Want to remind you to donate today to the Fan's 15th annual toy drive benefiting Children's Wisconsin, courtesy of Blaine's Farm and Fleet. Simply go to 1250amthefan.com and click on the toy drive link to donate today. It's the Fan's 15th annual toy drive presented by Annex Wealth Management through December 3rd. Sparky texted me last night, said they're going to come up with some toy drive locations to drop off toys. If you want to drop off toys as opposed to donating on the website, we'll get those two locations to you once we have those set up for you. We're continuing to talk about this Packers-Rams game coming up tomorrow. It's going to be on Sunday, going to be a good one. Going to be a big game for both teams, both fighting for a possible one seed in the NFC. The Rams coming in as the 5 seed, as their second in their division to the Cardinals. They're going to look to try and win this game coming off their bye week. The Packers going into their bye week. So we're going to continue to preview this game, talk about it. We'll give our predictions later. And give us a call. Tell us what you're thinking ahead of this one. 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250, or tweet us at 1250 AM The Fan. And I've kind of talked about it. This Packers team is really banged up. You come into this game missing guys, and we could just roll down a list, and it's almost like the who's who of the Packers rolling down their injury list. Whether it's Aaron Jones, whether it's Rashawn Gary, whether it's Jair Alexander, Za'Darius Smith, Josh Myers. I mean, we can keep going. Elkton Jenkins, David Bakhtiari. We can keep going all day on this Packers injury list. And it's really frustrating, but this Packers team continues to go out and play really good football. Last week, they go out to Minnesota. They play the Vikings really tight. Vikings win on that last-second field goal. The Vikings are a good football team, so I'm not super worried about that. But this Packers team, you got to start worrying at some point these injuries are just going to catch up. They're playing good football. They're really well coached. I think Matt LaFleur has done a really good job with this team. Next guy, step up. Let's go. Here we go. You heard Ryan Wood mention that. It's a next man up mentality. All right, Josh Myers isn't at practice today. All right, I'm stepping in playing center. All right, fine. David Bakhtiari's not here. All right, Nijman, let's hop in. Let's play. You know, whatever it is, whoever it is. Eric Stokes has really stepped up. These guys have really stepped up when they've had to because of all these injuries, but at some point, I think these injuries catch up to them, and maybe that's something that happens here against the Rams because you're going up against a team that's got a lot of firepower. You got Aaron Donald up front. You got Von Miller added to that. You got Cooper Kupp. Now you got Odell Beckham Jr. filling in for the injured Robert Woods. I think this is going to be a really important game for the Pack to go out and try and win here, but I don't know if they're going to be able to. The injuries are just such a big factor in this game, and this Rams team is so good. I don't want to, like, try and overstate this too much, and I think I'm going to throw a lot of people off with my prediction because I'm talking up the Rams. I'm probably going to end up taking the Packers to win this football game because I think they're the better team overall, but still, this Rams team, you can't overlook how good they are. Now, they're coming off 2 losses. They're motivated. They're coming off a bye week. They've had extra time to prepare. They're all healthy. They're ready to go. Odell is now in that system for a few weeks. He's ready to go. He's had time to practice. I mean, this team is going to be really hard to beat, even though they're coming up to Lambeau Field, even though you beat them last year in the playoffs. This Rams team is totally different than the one you beat last year. You know, you got Matthew Stafford, who you've seen as Packers fans. Adrian Amos said it this week. Matt Stafford's always been good. He just played for the Lions. Well, now he plays for a good football team under a good head coach in Sean McVay, and they're finding ways to utilize his strengths, and they're playing some really good football. I want to get your thoughts on this. 414-799-1250. Let's get out to Dave and Cudahy on a Friday. Dave, how you doing today? What do you think the Packers are going to do this weekend?
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for your running the morning show like Bart would. It's been great hearing your voice so much, Toby.
I appreciate it, Dave.
Now, I know we've been talking about the line, the O-line, specifically the Packers, but I think you need to think about it on the other end of things, because the only way that the Packers do win this is getting pressure on Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford has not been a quarterback to show that he can work well under pressure. You look at Aaron Rodgers, and even if dudes get through, he tends to dump them out relatively quickly and unscathed for the most part. Matt Stafford doesn't have that history. So if he can get that type of pressure, then you're going to be taking catches away from Robert Woods, from Cooper Kupp, and more errors are going to be made, which is clearly what needs to happen. I don't have a super good feeling about this game. I'm hoping to be wrong. I've been wrong, apparently, on like all my predictions the past couple weeks. So I will gladly take a wrong prediction again.
Yeah, I don't know how you can, as a Packers fan, and just being honest here, I don't know how you can go into this game with a good feeling. I mean, you've got so many guys missing. The Rams are really good. They're coming off a bye, and they're healthy. And I don't know how you can come into this game with a whole lot of confidence. You have confidence that you got Aaron Rodgers, you got confidence, you got Matt LaFleur, but outside of that, you're like, I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's really just the entire team. They are so banged up. I can't emphasize that enough. You can't emphasize that enough. They're not the Tennessee Titans bad, but they're pretty damn close, at least where they are getting to. So they need this bye week more than anything, and I don't know whether or not that benefits them in the long run, you know, going into the playoffs and maybe eventually the Super Bowl. You know, maybe that's a key factor, is having this super late bye week. Personally, I would have liked it to have happened maybe 2-3 weeks ago. But, you know, we're in this situation, and hopefully the Packers can eke one out.
Yeah, and thanks for the call, Dave. Real quick, before we let you go, what's your prediction? What do you got?
I really do feel the Rams are going to win. Let's go 27-21.
All right, 27-21 Rams for Dave and Cudahy. Thanks for the call this morning, Dave.
Keep killing it, Toby.
Yes, sir. All right, that was Dave and Cudahy. He says the Rams are going to win this football game. He talked about the injuries. That's one thing I do want to bring up. We were possibly going to talk about this. I think we'll save this for another time, maybe talk about it next week. Next week, when we do our 24-hour broadcast, Sam and I will be filling in, hosting from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. So if you're up at that time, listen in. And maybe we'll talk about this topic of how important is the one seed. I think some people have talked about it this week, but maybe we'll have a little more clarity on it next week. This is one thing with that, though. The Packers have such a late bye week that they're going to go into that game having played, they're 8-3 right now, they're 11 games, now they're going to play their 12th game on Sunday. That means they'll have 5 games left after the bye week. That's it, 5 games. That means at most, them playing wild card weekend, divisional weekend, and the conference championship, that's 8 weeks in a row they can play football. That's not that many in reality when you compare that to what the Packers just did with playing 12 straight weeks of football. Other teams, I think it's a bigger deal when you had a bye week earlier in the season. If you had a bye week in like week 8 and now you got to go through the stretch run, you don't have the bye week going into the playoffs, and now you have to play 12 straight weeks of football like the Packers just have, I think it's a bigger deal for them. That's why I don't know that it's that big of a deal for the Packers if they get this one seed and get that bye week right away. We'll dive into that a little bit later. Let's get out to Steve in Germantown. He wants to talk about Matt Stafford and the Rams. What's your thoughts this morning, Steve?
Hey, Doug, how you doing, man?
Pretty good, Steve.
Good. I'll tell Sam, I call in to you guys. I call on the Robbie show pretty frequently, and I talk about my disdain for Matt Stafford. I honestly don't believe in the guy. I just don't. I've seen him. I'm going to the game on Sunday. I've seen many Detroit Lions games with him quarterbacking, and I've seen Calvin Johnson in town, and he's always good for one or two picks, at least a game. I get it. He's a top 10 quarterback. I understand that from a statistic standpoint. What has he done in the last 2 weeks? You know what I mean? I'm telling you, I just don't, from my eye test, I don't believe in it. I just don't believe in the guy. I think the Packers, my prediction, I think they win the game. I believe in Joe Schneidman, I'll tell you that. I don't see a big drop off the left tackle one between him and Elton Jenkins. I really don't. Now we're talking David Bakhtiari. That's a different story because Bakhtiari is all pro at that position. But between Nyman and Jenkins, I don't see much of a drop off. I really don't. And I'm optimistic. I am. You bring in these guys like Runyon, you got Lucas Patrick still in the center. I think the line's just solid enough to hold up. I really do. We'll see what happens. I'll be at the game. I'm looking forward to a win. I believe the Packers will take it. We'll say 28-24, Packers.
All right, Steve. Well, thanks for the call. Steve has some confidence in the Packers winning this football game. I think that's where I'm going to lean. I'm not. I really believe in Matt Stafford. I think he's an incredible quarterback. I think he's a great playmaker. So I'm not going to go with Steve on that. But I do think the Packers can still find a way to win this football game. And I think when you look at it, the important thing for this team is they almost want to muddy this one up. Like I said earlier, Matt LaFleur needs to go find that game plan that he used for the Chiefs game with Jordan Love and go ahead and pull that thing back out and try that against the Rams and see if it works. Let's run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. And when Aaron Rodgers needs to make a play, Aaron Rodgers is going to make a play. If there's one guy I trust on that team that if he gets almost no opportunities and then all of a sudden there's an opportunity late in the game to make a play, it's Aaron Rodgers. I don't know. I think him and Devontae are going to be able to find theirs. It's just about the other guys. And I think the important thing for this team to win this football game is to be able to run the ball with A.J. Dillon. Ryan Wood said that A.J. ran the ball 11 times last game. Double that up, baby. 22 rushes with A.J. Dillon. It's going to be cold at Lambeau. It's going to be windy. It always is. It's Lambeau Field. It's late November going into December. It's cold. Run the football. Run it with A.J. Dillon. Depend on him. You drafted him. Matt LaFleur comes from Tennessee where they had a guy like a Derrick Henry. And a lot of people, when they drafted A.J. Dillon, are like, oh, Derrick Henry type. All right. Well, let's use him like that. Let's go. Run the ball with A.J. Dillon. Run it down their throats. You're going to miss Aaron Jones a lot in this game because maybe he plays, maybe he doesn't. I feel like it'd be smart to not play him or Gary. You know, we can talk about that. But overall, run the ball in this game, muddy it up, make it low scoring. Let's see if the Packers can depend on that defense once again because I think the Packers' defense can get back on track against this team. I know that Cooper Kupp is really good. I know that Odell Beckham Jr. is still a good player. I know that Matt Stafford's a good quarterback, but I still got faith in this defense. I think last week was just kind of a blip on the radar. I think they played poorly against Justin Jefferson and the Vikings, but I think they're going to get back on track, and they don't have the threat of a Dalvin Cook running the ball. They got Darrell Henderson. All right, he's fine. He might rush for 50, 60 yards, whatever. And you know what? If the Rams decide that they want to run the ball, that's good for the Packers, too. You want to know why? Because the ball's done in Cooper Kupp's hands then. Let the Rams run the ball if they want to run the ball. They're going to beat you passing the football, and I think that's what they're going to come out and do. And if the Packers can match that by saying, look, we'll take an 8-minute drive, handing the ball off to A.J. Dillon 10 times, we'll do that. You saw what they were able to do to finish that game against the Seahawks. Pull that baby out, try it against another NFC West team in the Rams. We're going to keep talking about this Packers-Rams game coming up, but right now we're going to do our six-pack of picks brought to you by Otto's Wine and Spirits with 7 Milwaukee employee-owned locations bringing you the largest selection of wines, beer, and liquors at everyday low prices. Otto'sWineAndSpirits.com. All right, Sam, we're going to do our six-pack of picks. Each one of us is going to do three. We're taking them from wherever we want in the sports world. Sam wasn't able to be with us to make some of the picks for against the spread, so he's going to take, I think, all NFL picks, maybe a player proper there. You know what? I'm going to start. We talked about some college hoops earlier. I'm going to take Gonzaga, -7.5 against Duke. I know Duke's a good basketball team, but Gonzaga's just so stinking good. I think they find a way to win this game by probably double digits. Gonzaga's beat UCLA pretty handily, and I thought UCLA was one of the top teams in the nation, but Gonzaga just blew them out of the water. So give me Gonzaga -7.5 versus Duke. What you got, Sam?
All right, my first one, we have the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Atlanta Falcons. Now, this one, the over-under is set at 46. I'm going to take the under in that game just because I think the Jacksonville Jaguars lost one of their – I don't think people really give him enough credit, but he really did kind of keep that Jacksonville Jaguars offense going, and Jamal Agnew, kind of a sort of a wildcat player. He can open up the offense, but – losing him, along with just how bad they've been this season, despite having James Robinson, I don't see Jacksonville putting up points. We all know how Matt Ryan's been this season. It has been pretty. No Calvin Ridley. He does have Kyle Pitts, but nothing else is working on that offense. Who knows about Cordarrelle Patterson this week? So give me the under in Atlanta and Jacksonville.
All right, Sam has the under in an NFL game. I like it. I like it. All right, let's go to college football here. It's Axe Week, baby. Wisconsin, Minnesota. Give me Wisconsin -7 over Minnesota. Braylon Allen running the ball all over the Gophers. I don't care that they're playing in Minnesota. I don't care. Give me the Badgers to win this one big against the Minnesota Golden Gophers. Badgers cover the 7-point spread. Big time game from Braylon Allen. Give me the Badgers -7.
All right. For my second one, I'm also, all my picks, I'm sticking in the NFL, by the way, but for my second one, I will be locking in Chargers -2.5 against the Denver Broncos. I think LA has just found their stride again. I'm not too worried about any of their offensive blunders that they've shown in the past like 4 weeks, but I do think after last week's performance against the Steelers, I think the Los Angeles Chargers are back on track. So give me that lock against the Denver Broncos.
All right, I got one last. We each got one last one, and maybe we'll give you a few extra if we have them. One last one here. Jonathan Taylor this week, the Colts go up against the number one rushing defense in the NFL in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think they stop the run. I think they commit to it. So you know what? Give me Jonathan Taylor over 23.5 receiving yards because the Colts understand that that offense goes as far as Jonathan Taylor takes them. And if they can't run the ball with Jonathan Taylor, they better get it to him out of the backfield catching it. So give me Jonathan Taylor over 23.5 receiving yards.
I like that one because he also went against the Buffalo Bills last week. And, you know, despite them having also one of the best rushing defenses and all that, they still figured out with Jonathan Taylor in the air. So I do like that one. All right, Toby, for my last one, I'm going to need your help on this one. I'm kind of flip-flopping on how I want to play. I have a player prop here. I have Baltimore Ravens wide receiver Rashad Bateman.
Ooh.
Now, do we want to go with over 80 yards receiving, or do we want to go with a touchdown, which would be, by the way, his first touchdown of his career?
Who are they playing?
They're going to be playing the Cleveland Browns. I think I'm kind of leaning towards a touchdown.
Yeah, I like the touchdown.
I think it's coming. I would have felt very confident in this player prop last week if Lamar Jackson was playing, but I think Rashad Bateman's time is coming. Every week he just gets more and more involved. Marquise Hollywood Brown dealing with an injury as well. So I assume Cleveland's going to put a lot of pressure on Mark Andrews. So give me Rashad Bateman for a touchdown.
Yeah, Rashad Bateman, anytime touchdown. I really like that. The other one I liked here, and I want to get your thoughts real quick before we hit a break, get to Ryan Horvat, have the Bart Winkler show, producer show. I like Golden State -6.5 against Portland tonight. Golden State's playing really well. I like that pick. But another one that I think is interesting, and maybe we'll ask Horvat about this too. Ohio State's favored by, I think, a touchdown around there in this game against Michigan. I know you're not a huge college sports guy, but a lot of sharp people are on Michigan. I kind of think Ohio State blows them out. I kind of think Ohio State comes out, C.J. Stroud, and that offense just really gets rolling against Michigan. I don't think they have an offense to keep up. I kind of think Ohio State rolls. What do you think?
Yeah, doesn't it seem like every time we put all of our chips into Michigan actually like coming through with a close game or maybe upsetting a team that they just, you know, completely fall on their face? I'm not buying it either. I like Ohio State as well.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people are saying that, you know, Michigan's probably just going to lose this game in heartbreaking fashion, and maybe that's the case, but who knows? We'll get to Ryan Horvat next. Just want to remind you that this segment is brought to you by the Sprinkler Fitters Local 183. They are hiring for apprenticeships with competitive training, insurance, and benefit packages, plus advancement opportunities. Go to sprinklerfitters183.org. When we come back, it is going to be the Bart Winkler Producer Show with Ryan Horvat, me, Toby Altizer, and Sam Schmitz coming back on The Fan here in a few minutes.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.